Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today is Eric Zeus, a noted research scholar who writes some fantastic material that you can find on Strategic Culture Foundation, strategic-culture.org, and my website, conspiracy-cafe.com. And when I post this show, I'll have links to Eric's articles and some research material that I've discovered, and make it easy for you to research it. And as we were talking about health, don't forget Power Hour has their promotions too. Buy one children's Vitamir toothpaste, get one free, 10% off Numana Foods, 10% off North American Urban Spice products, oregano oil, black seed capsules that Dr. Cass Ingram mentioned the other day. And to place your orders, you can go to thepowermall.com or call 1-877-817-9829, 1-877-817-9829. And I'm a big advocate of this black seed. I take black seed oil daily. It has just been quite the rejuvenator for how I feel after various debacles with aging. And as we get back into our show here, when we have adjusted our microphones slightly, so we should get a better reception for you. Always reminds me of Green Acres, the old TV show, if you're old enough to remember that, where they climbed up the phone pole to get at the phone wire to talk. I remember in days with analog cell phones, they'd almost have to climb up on the roof and form some kind of bizarre martial arts style pose or something like that to get the best of reception from time to time. But these are the challenges we face, and we can fix them as we go along. In our looking into the Saud family, there was a reporter, you know, who exposed this material, Jamal Khashoggi, and we all know what happened to him. So this is a rough road to haul to speak about some of the issues that are involved in global geopolitics. And Crown Prince Salman is close friends not only to G.W. Bush, but also Jared Kushner. And that's something that, you know, takes the fog off the lenses of my glasses as I go through this. And in this article, too, it also mentions that Prince Bandar, you know, directly from his own personal checking account, you know, contributed to two of the 15 Saudis who were among the 19 jihadists who are alleged to have carried out the 9/11 attacks. Like, these little factoids are airbrushed out of history, airbrushed out of communication, and just destined to, you know, in the Orwellian memory hole, really. And that's just sums it all up in a nutshell. And this is the type of work that, you know, Eric comes across with these small, very pertinent details that glare in flaming pink on my pages in what we're dealing with in this modern era. And, you know, another chap I see him mentioning, too, is one I'd never heard of before, Nadmi Achi. And he was, you know, providing funds by the Crown of England and such like that. Can you tell us a little bit about this chap, Eric?
Well, okay. I would say he was one of the persons that were reported by the FBI in the what we used to be called the missing 28 pages in the Senate committee's investigation into 9/11. There were two investigations, official investigations to 9/11. One of them was the one which was arranged by the White House, and it was really a total cover up. There was no intent whatsoever to provide an understanding, an accurate understanding of what was behind 9/11. But the Senate Investigating Committee, which was headed by a Democratic senator from Florida, Robert Graham, Bob Graham, and I mean, he really headed the the investigation itself, but the section that dealt with the financing was the 28-page section, and that was what was blacked out for 16 years. And when it was finally made public, just a few years ago, during the Obama administration, what it revealed was that the CIA had found through the bank account at Riggs National Bank, which is where the Saudi ambassador, Prince Bandar bin Sultan Al Saud, did his banking, and also his wife. They were funneling monies to a number of Saudis who were brought over to the United States, and among these were two of the 15 Saudis who were among the 9/11 hijackers. Now, it was a 28-page section which was just full of leads, because not all of it was like wow. But the parts of it that were wow were the parts that were dealing with those two hijackers and their handlers. They were maintained in the United States basically by Bandar secretly and through his private account, not even through a Saudi government account. Now, it was not, among the details of that was also Bandar's financing Al-Qaeda operatives in Pakistan. And so the tentacles were reaching out beyond U.S. shores. Now, Bandar was called Bandar Bush in Washington because he was so close to George Herbert Walker Bush and then to his son, George W. Bush, and the Bushes said he's like one of the family. Now, the thing is, there were so many names that were mentioned in those 28 pages that it could be rather confusing, but there is no question but that the FBI was reporting that these payments, these checks, were signed by Bandar and by his wife, and were basically funding those two people in the United States. And also funding their associates and paying their rent in the apartments where they were staying. So some of the money was directly funding them, and some was paying their rent. But the thing is that the FBI, now these investigations were being done, rather early on after 2001, but the big exposing of what was the money that was behind the scenes did not come until 2014, when the bagman, the financial bagman for Al-Qaeda, the key person who actually did the accounting for Al-Qaeda, and who also collected the large cash donations, of which there is no record, you know, because it's cash, that person is kept in a lockup, a super secure lockup in, I think it's Colorado. And finally, in 2014, the 9/11 families managed, after, you know, more than a decade, to get testimony, sworn testimony from the former bagman, the key person, financial person, because with the money is the key. Without the money, you can do nothing. In fact, this guy mentioned that all members of Al-Qaeda are paid a salary. And then there was the question, do you really mean a salary, or is it just that they are maintained? He said, oh, no, they are paid a salary. And so, I mean, this guy knew all of the money guts, the financial guts of the Al-Qaeda organization. And his testimony is just astounding, because he's not talking just about, you know, tens of thousands of dollars here and tens of thousands of dollars there that the FBI people were talking about in those 28 pages. This guy was talking about donations of at least $1 million in cash, big suitcases. He'd fly in, pick up the money, you know, physically, and you know, count it and fly it back to Osama bin Laden. And so what he was saying is, to me, a lot more significant, because he was talking about millions of dollars pouring into Al-Qaeda from mainly the top Saudi princes, but also other mainly Arab oil aristocrats, associates of the Saud family, so that behind the scenes, the Saud family were feeding millions and millions into Al-Qaeda. He also said, and I mean, this is his sworn testimony, and there are no checks. There is no physical evidence. There's only testimony. This is all cash, you understand. But that he was talking about. And he was asked questions he would answer, all of them that he knew the answer to. A key part of the interviews, because they went on for 4 days at this supermax prison in, I think it's Colorado, anyway, was the part in which he was asked about Osama bin Laden's connection to his importance beyond finance to the Saud family, the reason why the Sauds were donating heavily, each of the Saudi princes. And the reason that he gave was that you can't understand this without understanding how the Saudi king is selected. And he said it's done by the Saud family with the approval of the ulema, which are the Saudi Wahhabi clergy. This is the top level of the Saudi church, okay? And they decide which Saudi princes are kosher and which are not, to use a term from a religiously approved.
Well, that's almost like in olden days, the Pope would give his permission or acquiesce to a certain king in a Catholic country.
Exactly. And I was wanting to say that, but, that's it. I mean, that's exactly it. He was describing the situation, which was so similar to that. That's the way I was interpreting it, too. But the thing is that if you don't have the approval of the clerics, then you don't stand a chance to become king. And, I mean, there are all these princes there were only, at one time, maybe less than 10 who were really serious candidates. But ultimately, the approval of the ulema, it was critical. It was just crucial. And so in order to win the approval of the ulema, which is the clerics, the approval that came from the religious fighter out in the field, the head religious fighter, who was Osama bin Laden, was deeply respected by the ulema. And so a letter was requested from Osama bin Laden at the time of the appointment of the new king. And this guy who was flying to collect money also, in one of his trips, was carrying the letter from Osama bin Laden to the ulema with Osama bin Laden's recommendations. And so he was part of the process. He was part of the process of choosing the king. Now, you know how important the king is. Just recently, the current kings, who's too old to be actively involved in ruling, King Salman, his son, seized other Saudi princes, and they were sequestered for a month or so in the Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh, basically held under kind of like house arrest, during which period their individual finances were gone through, and each one of them would make a deal with the king through his son, the crown prince. They would make a deal for their freedom. For example, Walid, I mean, he was one of the richest. He supposedly had to transfer to the state, which is the king, billions of dollars in order to win his freedom. I mean, it was a shakedown. The king was shaking down his relatives.
Sounds like Chicago in the 1930s.
Yeah, but I mean, these are your own relatives. And so this is how important it is to donate to Al-Qaeda. If you don't, you're buying an insurance policy, by golly. You're buying an insurance policy, which in the raffle or the lottery, or, you know, you're buying a ticket to the lottery to win the power to do that. The ultimate power, not only, I mean, it's an incredible financial, political power that the king of Saudi Arabia possesses. Now, there is a lot of discussion right now about what is the market value of Aramco, which is 100% owned by the king. See, I mean, it's owned by the Saudi government, but the Saudi government is owned by the king. And I had estimated back before there was any talk about its being listed on a stock exchange, I had calculated that it was definitely worth over $1 trillion. And, you know, probably, I figured, about $2 trillion, but at least $1 trillion. And that's because their reserves of, well, now this was back about 2014. Their reserves were 260 billion barrels of oil, the cleanest oil in the world. And it turns out that the accounting firms have now said that it's worth at least $1 trillion and maybe $2 trillion.
My goodness.
So,
well, we're coming up for a break, and we'll have to continue on the other side. I'm George Freund. With us, Eric Zeus. Thanks for coming aboard. We'll see you on the other side of the news.
Hi, this is Jay at the Paramall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as bio-superfood. I've taken bio-superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today, Eric Zeus, who writes amazing things at Strategic Culture Foundation, and that's a good website to go look at, even for some of the other people. They're all very qualified writers. Just to get another point of view that's a little bit different than some of the propaganda we're used to by mainstream. Another little jewel I noticed in one of these articles was, according to Sybil Edmonds, we had a certain number two man in Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, going to Baku, Azerbaijan, for a series of meetings back in the 1997 to 2001 era. Although wanted by the FBI, he was regularly flying in NATO planes to Afghanistan, Albania, and had frequent visits from Prince Bandar bin Sultan of Saudi Arabia. So I imagine a lot of you lined up at the airport for the shakedown, and you're not on the Al-Qaeda list, and you're definitely not the two-man, and you've probably never been in a NATO airplane. But there's something wrong with this picture. Is we're being played for suckers, we're being played by very powerful sources who are basically stealing the assets of the planet Earth, monopolizing it for their own use, and leaving us to hold the bag, whether we're wounded, imprisoned, or destroyed as a nation state and made to be far less than the citizens we expected we should be. This is the state of affairs. And another article Eric has here, Syria accuses U.S. stole 40 tons of gold from Syria, because what they did is sold Syrian oil, which was stolen by these various terrorist groups, laundered the oil through nefarious sources, one of which was Turkey, and at pretty much half the market price, and were paid in gold, and this gold was kind of conveniently lifted off Syrian soil so that it wouldn't tipped the nation too much to one side, and they were relieved of that terrible, terrible burden. And this is the way we do business. And one of the other, you know, avenues to change pace and get away from the Middle East, but, you know, another one that just blew my mind was a February 16th article Eric did, How America's Dictatorship Works. And as he's followed the money about campaign contributions, where they go, and who makes them, and basically we can see the deep state is basically the billionaire class, and the billionaire class, you know, just cast their money in whatever direction they want it to go, and we're sucked in and have to march in this parade.
That one?
Yes.
Could I just say a little bit about that? Yeah. Well, what I did in that one, I mean, I'd done a number of earlier articles related to it, but this brought it all to focus on the 2016 contest. What I showed there is that just the top half dozen billionaires' donations to the campaign of Donald Trump were basically sufficient to make him the nominee. Not just because he was a more attractive candidate than the rest of the field, which I think, you know, one can make an argument that he was probably in some respects, but also I did the analysis on the Democratic side, and it showed the same thing, and that Hillary Clinton was in fact the top choice of the billionaire Democrats. See, I did a count of America's billionaires, which just went through the top 10, and then rather cursorily through the top 100, and it seems that about 70% of America's billionaires are Democrats, and 30%, I mean, yes, are Republicans, pardon me. 70% are Republicans, and 30% are Democrats. But the thing is that not all billionaires are top political donors in presidential contests. There are very few, they're, you know, like maybe 20 for each party, who are the giants. Like, for example, Sheldon Adelson, who spends a large part of his time in Israel and is a very ethnocentric Jew, and some of his family had been killed during the Holocaust. But the thing is, he self-identifies as a Jew, not as a human being, not as an American, but as a Jew. That's the way he sees himself. And the thing is, he was the biggest Republican donor, and I think it was like $82 million. And his donation to the Republican campaign was really crucially important to the success, not just of Trump, but of the members of Congress. Having that kind of extra money lying around that you can donate, not just, you know, $50 or $20 or that kind of thing, but you can donate in one campaign year, 2016, $82 million. That gives you a lot of clout. Now, on the Democratic side, the biggest donors were different other people. I mean, there are Democratic donors and then there are Republican donors, and there's very, very little crossover. But the thing is that there were a lot more of the Democratic billionaires who were donating very, very heavily to the Republican congressional and presidential campaigns in 2016 than of the Republicans who were doing it. And they were much more active, although there are fewer of them. There were more who were among the big donors. And Hillary Clinton was overall drawing in from the big donors actually a multiple of what Trump drew from the billionaire class. And without these donations, really neither of those candidates would have stood any significant chance of winning. And here's the amazing thing. I looked at, there are two websites that show all of the opinion polls during the primaries. And they actually show a graph with all these dots. Each dot represents a percentage of support for, in this case, let's say, Clinton versus Sanders, who were the two big Democratic contenders. And on the Republican side, it was Trump versus, and, you know, all the rest of the field were much, much smaller. He dominated totally on the, well, I mean, it was supposedly, it was the senator from Texas, his, you know, the senior senator Republican, he's a Republican from Texas, Ted
Cruz.
Forget his. Yes,
Ted Cruz. Yeah, I always like to say refuse to Cruz when I talked about him.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Well, he was the early favorite, but Trump showed much more campaigning ability, and so he quickly swamped. In fact, early on, the favorite of Sheldon Adelson was Ted Cruz, and he was willing to donate $100 million to the Republican Party if Cruz would be the nominee. But anyway, so he ended up donating only $82 million. But the thing is that these very few people, basically without their money, their candidates would be not like almost really nothing. And here's why I say this. The favorability rating of both Trump and of Hillary Clinton in 2016 was really bad. It was unfavorable. The majority of the American electorate viewed each of the two candidates unfavorably. And so they were weak candidates in terms of appealing to the electorate. But the one candidate who really dominated and was favored by the most voters, the most registered voters who said that they intended to vote in the presidential election, were Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders swamped all the rest of the field, but he didn't have a single billionaire backing him. And look who got the nomination. The candidate that was more attractive to America's billionaires than any of the other candidates of either party, Hillary Clinton.
Well, there used to be an adage in the billionaires, $1, one vote. And,
That's it. That's what it is. This is not a democracy. This is an aristocracy. They don't have titles in this country. But that's meaningless. That's pointless. It was never the titles that made the European aristocracy powerful. Of course, their office made them powerful, but their office was associated with their wealth. And the people who control the government are the aristocracy. And certainly in the United States and now pretty much throughout the world, you can replace the word aristocrat with the word billionaire. If you've got a billionaire, then that person is an aristocrat. Now, some aristocrats are politically active, more active than others. And basically the people who control the government are the politically active aristocrats. And that's what we've got. We've got in the United States now an aristocracy. America's founders fought a revolutionary war in order to overthrow the aristocracy. America's founders included in the Constitution a prohibition against any aristocratic titles. The reason they did that is they wanted to do whatever they could to make it unlikely for an aristocracy to arise in this country, domestic aristocracy. They threw out the British aristocracy. Well, it has arisen in America. America does not represent our founders. America represents the type of system that our founders overthrew. We are the new world empire. And the local aristocracies in Europe and elsewhere, they are the vassal aristocracies. So that between the Middle Ages and now, we've got the same problem. Exactly the same problem, just different words for it.
Well, one of the other big billionaires who had a lot of influence in Britain was, of course, Rupert Murdoch. And no one could get to be prime minister unless you kissed his ring. And, you know, because if you didn't, then you would just get bad press from all his newspaper chain, and they'd make you look like an idiot, and you would have zero chance of, you know, being elected dog catcher, never mind prime minister or any other high office. And once, of course, you get in, well, then, you know, you have to be subservient to your masters, or the pressure's going to come on again, and they're going to bury you away. And in America, of course, now this role is held by some of the big press, but, you know, one of the, you know, guys in the skunk works at the bottom there is Jeff Bezos. He's billionaire, but you know, with his money and government contracts with all the spook agencies or alphabet soup agencies, and the fact that he owns a major newspaper, the Washington Post, which is a major orchestrator of thoughts and opinions in most people's minds because they can't think outside of the box for themselves or recognize patterns, we're stuck in this slowly devolving circus of lowest common denominator, and we just have to hold on and take the ride. And it's taking us, you know, into hopefully not open conflict with other powers over fighting over these bits and pieces of states that are being dominated, like lately in Venezuela, but previously in Syria. But it could only just take an accident, or artificial intelligence is probably one of my biggest fears, controlling the military. It thinks something happens, it reacts to what it thought happened, but it didn't happen, and then another country's artificial intelligence, you know, basically starts the war to end all wars forever, because we played this game of competition as opposed to, you know, a more just, definable world of cooperation. And but these people that lust after money at this power completely close the door onto something that I find much more beneficial as a reward, is the blessing. Where you do something, you do a good turn, something comes back for you, get a positive karma coming back. And ultimately, even if you do it for money, if you put out evil or you take advantage of people, ultimately steal from them or blow them to smithereens with your fighter planes and fighter bombers, you're bringing back a bad karma. And that's just going to completely destroy and uproot your nation.
Yes, and what you are referring to as good karma, I would call democracy. And that is to say, rule by the public. And the bad karma is rule by the billionaires, rule by the aristocracy, to use the old term. But, I mean, it's interesting. The Washington Post is in this contest of always with the New York Times for being the most important shaper of opinion. And Bezos bought it for $250 million, which, you know, was chump change for him, because, you know, you don't buy a thing like that for its financial worth. You buy it because you want to control public opinion. And the way he controls public opinion in that newspaper is just stunning. It is the most neoconservative, the most effective neoconservative news medium in America. I mean, we've got all news media, the mainstream news media, are neoconservative. They all are pro-American imperialism. They were all in favor of invading Iraq. They were all in favor of overthrowing Assad in Syria. They were all in favor of overthrowing Muammar Gaddafi. I mean, all of these people that they want to overthrow are always, at least on friendly terms with Russia, if not allied with Russia. But basically, it's the ones who are on friendly terms with Russia in any sense who are targeted for the wars. And here's how it works. I mean, if I could get into that. I mean, it's really important to understand because, you see, Jeff Bezos makes his profit from the U.S. government, from the military, from the CIA and the NSA. His consumer business is, you know, kind of like struggling along in terms of sometimes it loses money, sometimes it doesn't. But what really makes the profits at Amazon is Amazon Web Services. And his contract with the federal government, which is with all the federal agencies, and that especially includes the NSA and the CIA and the other intelligence agencies. But the thing is, this is his bread and butter. This is what his net worth consists of. His net worth consists of the U.S. military. I mean, it's just amazing. So how does the military in America work? The military it works. It's got two parts. You've got the soldiers who get the chump change. You know, they make a living. And then they've got the weapons. Now, that's interesting. These are the defense contractors. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, United Technologies, companies like that. And the thing is, I mean, like, Lockheed Martin is the biggest defense contractor. They alone receive almost 9% of all the monies that go to federal contractors. That one giant company, it's giant, Lockheed Martin. You don't buy their products at the Walmart. You don't buy their products online. You don't buy their products at all because their products are sold only to governments, almost entirely to the U.S. government, and consequently they want lots more money spent on the U.S. military. And the second largest customer for Lockheed Martin is the Saad family, which are the largest buyer of American weaponry, other than the U.S. government.
So if you buy your murder weapons from Lockheed Martin, then you're not really murdering anybody.
you get a get out of hell free card. Yeah, but let's say you are the CEO of Lockheed Martin. You see the world in the following way. There have to be governments that are going to be your market. That's got to be your own government, above all. But also allied governments, you see. That's the reason why, like, for example, Venezuela is not an ally. They're an enemy. Syria is not an allied government. They're an enemy government.
Well, a great comedy that was written some time ago was called Canadian Bacon, about a defense plant going out of business in Buffalo and all the ramifications about having to have an enemy. So what they did is they created Canada as an enemy, and the comedians invaded Canada to take it over for the military-industrial complex. It's done in parody, but basically that's the blueprint. We're running out of time, unfortunately. We're just starting to get really wound up here. And, you know, it's a terrible shame, but that's the price of admission here. But Jeff Bezos is the military-industrial complex. And with his media organ, he organizes lynch mobs to profit for these defense contractors to go around and lay waste to people.
And you look at his editorial pages, you know, all the columnists, I mean, they really want to seize Venezuela. Well, why Venezuela? Well, of course, the oil companies, they want to, and all the advertisers want to, but also the military. If it becomes another war, that's more military expenditure, more of a market for U.S. weaponry. And so you need countries that are targets and not just countries that are allies. And that's what's the key. A country like Syria is a target country, not an ally. And you have to think in those terms. You understand international relations in that sense.
Okay, well, we've come to the end of the rope there, so we thank you, Eric, and we thank our audience for coming out. I'm George Freund, host today, and I'll be on a few times next week, so you can catch me again as I replace Daniel for his vacation. God bless you all, and we'll see you on the flip side. Good day.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-